Fred Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
Fred Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 71st Berlinale. I'm in company of Maria Schrader, director, and Ian Schomburg, screenwriter for I'm Your Man, screening at Berlinale in competition.
So I was curious to know, obviously, the starting point for I'm Your Man, because I read, first of all, that you decided that you didn't want a story in a dystopian future, and that you decided for to have a comedic tone. So what was behind all that?
Of course, it is very tempting to also invent a future world. Obviously, I mean, it's better if you have a lot of $100 million to do that. But it doesn't mean that you cannot do it with a small budget. But we thought it might be, in our case, more interesting to put this in our world and to have Alma, a woman like us, you know, who has no more knowledge about the future than we do. And maybe it's easier to identify with her and meeting this future element, this incredible developed robot is so foreign to her like it would be for us. And also it allows a concentration on, you know, the initial thought of it, you know, having a robot in front of you so developed that he might be your life partner or love partner, right? If you would also invent a future world, then you would have to decide for a future of society, a political future, and we like the idea to set it in a fairy tale atmosphere. And that would also, you know, allow a very humorous, at least, beginning of it. And it was, yeah, I mean, there is something, if you talk about love, I mean, it has to have some humor, right? I mean, it's...
If you talk about loneliness, it has to have some humor.
If you talk about loneliness, it has to be really funny.
What can you say about what the film says about the relationship with technology? Do you think it is possible to fall in love with a robot?
Well, do you think it's possible to fall in love with a human being? I think if love in general is possible, it's pretty much possible to fall in love with anything. I mean, if you look at fetishes, you can also fall in love with a shoe. So I think it's absolutely possible to fall in love with an artificial intelligence. The question is, and that's what we were interested in, is it something you would want to do? Especially because if this artificial intelligence is just made to fulfill your needs. And that's, I think, the question that interested us.
Probably it's a question of what is happiness and how do we, you know, how do we think about love and happiness. And so far, I mean, at least until today, we look at it as a gift from something happening to us, given from the gods or fate or a happy moment or a coincidence. And I think this makes us all equal because it's something money can't buy. And it's not a question if you're rich and famous or successful or if you have only one leg, you know, actually it's open to, we all have the same concept of that happiness is something which you encounter. It's nothing you can buy so far. You can buy tools to comfort yourself a bit, but probably Tom is a very, very well-developed tool. And his only existence, the only reason for his existence is named Alma, to make her happy and to guess, to sense her needs and to adapt to her. So if a kiss is available whenever you want it, if there is not a possibility of failure, if there is not a possibility of misunderstanding, of conflict, various interests or colliding interests, then what's it worth? That is probably one of the questions we are not really prepared to answer, because no one of us has experienced someone like Tom yet.
I wanted to know more about the casting of Dash Stevens, because, well, at least from how non-German speakers' point of view, his German is incredible. So what led you to casting him?
Also for us, it's amazing.
It's amazing. Really amazing. And his German lines are, to be honest, really, really complicated. He speaks a very elevated German, and probably a native speaker would have had his problems too with those lines. So he was really working very hard on them, but he could speak German before. He wouldn't speak that kind of German in an interview right now, but his German is quite good.
Yeah.
And the idea was to,
and his Korean and his French is really well.
Yes,
as well.
His Korean and his Spanish.
And his
Spanish. His Spanish. Yeah. I mean, he's such a hard worker. It's really incredible. It's incredible.
He actually is a language robot.
Yes, he is a robot. I think he has an incredible talent for languages. Yes. But already while writing, we thought about why not searching for Tom or for the actor abroad. And it wasn't necessarily Great Britain or Los Angeles. You know, we would also look to Italy and France and Spain, and you know, there were so many demands for the character of Tom. He had to be a very good looking guy, of course, because it's so much more fun to make fun of a good looking guy who has this appearance of a gentleman.
Also, right. I found the idea really funny that some kind of robot is made for you, especially because it totally analyzed all your brain, and suddenly it's someone with an accent. you know, because in Germany, for example, the girl with a French accent is a cliche, for example. You know, you'd say, oh, this is erotic or something. And then you would suddenly have a guy with a British accent. I just like the idea that it confronts you with your own desire, which seems to be there, and you wouldn't be aware of it.
But of course, it also adds a slice of foreignness to, at least in German. You know, in German, he still has this slice of accent, which serves the character and which serves the agreement, you know, that Dan Stevens is the robot.
We've seen a lot of films over the years about mechanical mates for men. How is it different to have a film with a robot man mate for a woman?
We're not so used to that. And we are women have been objects as long as we can think back, right? Women have been, made to objects, and we are not so used to have it the other way around. So this is this was specifically wonderful to have such an incredibly good-looking guy and talk about him as a thing and a tool for Alma, and it really, while doing it, I realized how very little we are used to something like that. And that was very interesting to find out that it also feels almost foreign.
Well, actually, we just, the moderator of the press conference, she just told us something that we weren't aware of, and I think it's a very good point. there's this scene where she wants to sleep with him, where she wants to have sex with him, but she's drunk. And obviously he doesn't sleep with her because his algorithm seems to know she doesn't really want to have sex. She wants him as someone who would be like the gentleman to say, no, you're drunk, you don't really want it. But this makes, in a way, is also an anti-feminist thought, because like if you would think, because it kind of implies that women have to be taken care of if they're drunk and they just want to have sex. You would never say that to a man, that the next morning a man would say, oh, you used my lust while I was drunk and you just slept with me. And this is really an anti-feminist thought.
But it's not everything about it. It's not all of it. Because, you know, Alma's much bigger problem is that she can't deal with the fact that he only exists to please her. This is something which is, as a general concept, the one thing she absolutely despises. So it's not only the fact that she's drunk that he might say, not now. It is also maybe, and what do we know, because it's Tom, maybe it's also because he understands that she needs conflict. She needs, you know, she
friction.
She needs, she needs rebellion. She needs to see him as an individual, she loves the concept of romantic love, that there is a free will, that she only gets a kiss because someone else really, you know, longs for kissing her or wants to kiss her, and not because he's programmed to kiss her. That is the big conflict she's having. Then we later, and I end in a second, later, funny enough, and also, you know, talking to men about this movie, later we see this elderly man with a female robot. And he doesn't seem to have any kind of that problem to have someone at his side just made to make him happy. And then he also says, I'm already in negotiations, you know, what can I pay to keep her? So I think it also makes a little fun of a male conception of that, because it's maybe not as difficult for men to see women as objects to be taken home and fulfill their needs.
I was thinking that this film helped us, let's say, to create a discussion within ourselves. I mean, I found myself thinking about what really does it mean to be happy in a relationship? What do I want to, what am I so desperate to obtain from another person? So I was wondering what kind of internal discussion went through the both of you, and with what lesson, if you, what kind of epiphany, if you had one?
You fell in love again with the humankind.
Well, I kind of fell in love with the idiocy and the irrationality of humans, you know, because for a long time, I thought about people, you know, why can't you be more reasonable? You know, there's so many crazy things going on. I mean, it's obvious what we have to do with the climate change. Why don't we get, so on? And in a way, I was expecting of humans to be like machines, to be like robots, you know, like, and since then, when I find someone really stupid and really crazy, I think, yes, but it's not a robot. That would never be done by robots, and I kind of find that, yeah, romantic in a way. In terms of a love relationship, I don't know. I didn't change so much.
I learned a lesson.
Yeah,
when I on set, you know, it was often the case that I would talk to Maren, and we found out that on the one hand side, she doesn't want him. She doesn't want this concept. She doesn't want him in his apartment. But at the same time, she has this incredible awareness about him. There's so much attention. You know, is he dangerous? She closes her door. She's like, she doesn't, you know, whenever there was a dialogue and it felt like, oh, this is how we talk to humans, because, you know, this is just another, this is a talk now. It feels like he would just be a man, a human. No, it's like, you know, it's this special unpredictability, the attention of her, if he might be dangerous, how does he react? Everything is possible. And I think this attention and the room she gives him with this also does make it possible for her to fall in love, because she's observing so much. And I think this is something which is the earth for love, you know, that only because you're a human, I expect you to do certain things, and there is this codex, but maybe we should treat each other a little more like the unknown species, and let's check you out and who you are. I think that is a good lesson also for Alma.
It's beautiful.
I like that. And we've been talking with Maria Schrader and Hiam Schomburg, director and screenwriter of I'm Your Man, screening at the 71st Berlinale in the competition section. And this is Chiara Nicoletti for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio,
24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.